ശ്യാമമണ്ഡലമൗലി മണ്ഡലമണി ശ്യാമരുണാഗസ്ഫുരദ്രുമീർഭേദവിഭാവിതാ കിട്ടിവഹോ കാശ്മീരഗൗരചരിഃ കാപീവോന്മദകാമകേലിതരളാ മാം പാതു മന്ദസ്മിതാ മന്ദാരദ്രുമകുഞ്ചമന്ദിരഗതാ ഗോവിന്ദ പട്ടേശ്വരി.
ദ മോസ്റ്റ് കംപാഷനേറ്റ് ശ്രീ ഗൗരാംഗ മഹാപ്രഭു has appeared in this fallen age of Kali to deliver the fallen souls. His most confidential associate Sri Srila Prabhudananda Saraswati Charan has stated his heartfelt prayer in his exquisite text Sri Sri Radha Rasudhanidhi in verse number 122. He is praying and stating in wonder that, oh, she is the crest jewel of the Shyama Naikas. Her beautiful body is full of goosebumps because of ecstatic love. She is of a golden splendor like saffron. She is playful and restless because of divine craziness. She is so much in love. She is full of smiles and she is gradually proceeding towards the Kunja Mandir, which is made of wish tree, and she is the chief consort of Govinda. May such Shri Shri Radharani protect me. So Srimati Radharani, she is the best of all premis. She is the topmost sweetheart of Govinda. There is nobody who can offer Govinda the prem what she offers. We are relishing this verse under the anugatya of the Goswamis, and they have explained from point of view of Maharas. In Spurti, Saraswati Charan, he is actually seeing his Abhishta, that is Radha Govinda, in all their splendor. He is getting the spurti as if it is sakshatkar, that means he is actually seen. He cannot make out, he is asking himself, is it spurti or is it sakshatkar? He thinks it is sakshatkar, but actually it is spurti. Our Mahajans, they have written that our bhakti sadhana, it is so much more joyous than performing yoga, gyan, etc. They have compared bhajan with bhojan. When we do bhojan, then as with every morsel of food, we feel satisfied, we get nourished, and hunger diminishes. Similarly, as we progress in bhajan, in every step, we get more and more bhakti for Bhagavan, we get more and more realization, and we start losing interest in every topic other than Shri Krishna. There is strength in every grain of rice. But of course, when we take a single grain of rice, we don't understand that it is giving us energy. But it has energy inside it. But as we eat more and more grains of rice, then we realize, yes, like we are feeling more and more full, more and more satisfied, we are getting energy in the body. So similarly, when we take these baby steps in bhajan, we don't realize that we are progressing. But when we continue to take these baby steps and we form a strong bond, a strong habit, then we realize, yes, we have taken a leap. So this is why we should not stop taking baby steps. We should not seek to take giant leaps in the very beginning. But we should stress on taking teeny-weeny steps and continue with this endeavor. We should not lose motivation. But one fine day we will realize that all this has accumulated, and where we were before, where we are now. And then we will get more motivation to progress more. The gopis now, they have found Shri Krishna. They have offered him such a wonderful asana, their own upper garment, which is covered with the coal of their eyes, stained with tears. And Govinda, he is sitting comfortably, lovingly on it. Govinda, he is such a remarkable, extraordinary embodiment of sweetness. As soon as we see Govinda, all our viraha, all our suffering gets soothed immediately. So the gopis, huge forest fire-like viraha, it was soothed. But still, it was a forest fire. So some smoke was still remaining, although the fire was extinguished. So still their heart was smoldering little bit. They were not completely happy, because earlier, just some moments before, they were rushing like mad here and there searching for Govinda. So we cannot expect that immediately they should come down to ground level. So although they were very, very happy, they were still somewhat feeling sad that, oh, we love him so much, we adore him so much, we would do anything for him, and still, how could he have done it to us? Somehow they could not accept this. Of course, he is very compassionate. He has returned. But still, maybe he is beyond our conception. But of course, we don't want to ask him directly why he did this. We will indirectly make him reveal why he treated us in this manner. So they asked, O beloved of our soul, O Prananath, and they started questioning him. Our Vishwanath Chakravorty, he has written very nicely in his explanation of Srimad Bhagavatam that how the gopis, they put to him Kuta Prashna. Kuta Prashna means they are questions which are political. So they started asking him very twisted questions. Tell us, O beloved of our soul, who is that person whom if we love, they also love us? If we don't love, still they love us? Second question. If we love them, they don't love us. And we don't love them and they don't love us. So Govinda understood very well that they want to entangle me in their twisted questions. So he started laughing and said, Oh my sweethearts, there is one class of people who love you if you love them. They are selfish. And this material world is full of such examples. In fact, this selfishness in love, it is very, very filthy. They are such that if we love them, they will love us. The moment we show some less love, they will turn away from us. So they are more dangerous than people who are directly selfish. These people are also selfish, but they are worse than people who are directly inimical. There is a second class of people who will love us even if we don't love them. They are very compassionate. Some very kind people. The best example are parents. Sridhar Swami Pad, he has written in his commentary that some are naturally kind-hearted. They don't see whether you will give them back something, but they show their love to you. They do something good for you. Our mother and father, they are also very serene people. They love their children. If the children turn out to be good children, they feel blessed, happy. Okay, we are lucky, we got good children. If the children turn out to be bad, still they continue to care for them. However, the parents don't think that whether our children will do for us in the future or will not care for us in the future. They don't think like that. They just love them, they take care of them. So Bhagavan, he said that it is because of such people who are still there on this earth that material world, still there is some joy. If these people would not have been in material world like our parents and some few compassionate people, then this world would have been very, very dark. That is why we are still continuing to live. However, Bhagavan is the most compassionate person. What do we mean by compassion? When we think only about the welfare of others without any selfish motive, that means compassion. This is very rare in this material world. There are, of course, people who like to do something good for others. They're just naturally kind and they feel happy when they do something good for others. But then, even that happiness that they are getting, that is their selfish motive. They're doing it because they get happiness. Mother and father, they also take care of their children, and when they are caring for that child, then that child, you know, it's childish pranks, it's playfulness, it's soft speech. All this gives them joy. So they like giving birth to children, rearing children. So ultimately here also there is a selfish motive. So it is only Sri Bhagavan who is compassionate without absolutely any expectation of any sort, because he is happy in himself. He is not gaining some extra joy from being compassionate. He is joyous in his own, whether he shows mercy or not mercy, he is joyful. So he continues to shower his compassion on the living being. And what is his biggest compassion? When he wants the living beings to break the bondage of this Maya and to come to him. However, he does not give this compassion directly. This bondage of Maya, it is very, very strong. Living beings cannot transcend this bond and go to Govinda on their own. Mahaprabhu has said that this material world, it is verily the place of strong bondage. If we living beings, we can awaken our swarup, our original self, and we can be fully identified with our relation with Sri Bhagavan, that moment all sorrow and suffering will disappear. So our Sriji, he has said that this is why Sri Bhagavan, he has not kept mercy in his own hands. Rather, he has distributed this mercy to the pure devotees of this world. And he wants that each and every living being should get this kripa. So this is why Sadhu, Guru, Vaishnav, they are so compassionate. They have got Govinda's kripa in them. And they can understand the suffering of the living beings around them. They are seeing, they are feeling. So then they give mercy to the living beings. If we go and we pray to them, to Sadhu Guru Vaishnav, then definitely their heart, which is already soft, they will be attracted to us and they will give us the proper instruction how to destroy all our pain, sorrow, bondage, material desires, which is so much painful. They will teach us what is the process of sadhana. And when we do their anugatya, then definitely we will get this knowledge and we will be established in bliss. Sri Bhagavan, he has made his devotees his treasurers, which means that he has kept his priceless wealth with his devotees to safeguard this treasure. So, but however, although we may know the process of bhajan, we may get all instruction, we just hear, we try to follow, but still not necessary we are going to be successful. There is one very strong vehicle required for this kripa shakti, Bhagavan's kripa shakti to enter us, and that is mahakripa. Our Mahaprabhu has said, Mahat kripa vina kono karme bhakti nahi. Krishna prapti dure rahu, shongshar nahi khoy. This means that without getting kripa of great devotees, there is no bhajan sadhan is not going to take us anywhere. Forget getting Krishna prem. Even this bondage of material world, which is easy to be destroyed, will not get destroyed. We need the kripa of great devotees for making any progress. This is the very much essential ingredient, along with taking the baby steps in sadhana. There has to be the kripa of these great devotees plus the steps and the progress. Next, Sri Bhagavan, he is answering the gopis' questions. Let's see. There is another class of people. Even if you love them, they don't love you. They are ungrateful creatures. Then there is another class of people. They are envious of their elder, of Gurudev. So they are very much hard-hearted people. Whatever you do to them, they will never love. They don't possess love inside them for anybody. So the gopis, they started winking at each other and they were saying that, see, now we caught him. He has answered what he is. He has himself answered what he is. See, he is supposed to be Atmaram, Aptakam, and we can see it very well. We know that he is not envious of his elders or of his Gurudev. We can always see that how much he respects everyone. So which means that he belongs to the fourth category, that is ungrateful. So just imagine, my dear devotees, what the gopis are telling him. The person who says, that Govinda is a person who says that in return for just one palm full of water and one tulsi you offer me, and I still remain indebted to you forever. Braja gopis are calling him ungrateful because they are floating in the ocean of prem, and so now they're accusing him of being ungrateful. But Bhagavan Govinda, even he is very clever. He was not the one to get caught. So he said such a statement, he made such a statement that the gopis, they were completely ecstatic. He just made them bathe in nectar, in the shower of nectar. A single statement. He said, yes, see, you ask me a variety of questions, but believe me, I don't belong to any of these four categories. You want to say that you have loved me, but I have not loved you, right? So he said that, oh my darling Sakhi, see, I am such a person who is happy when my beloved is happy. I am sad when my beloved is sad. And yet when someone loves me, I do not reciprocate his or her love. You know why? Because I want to increase that passion. And when I do this, then even the subtlest desires, they get destroyed. You know, when a person has got a lot of wealth and then someone steals that wealth, then before he got that wealth, he was not thinking so much about that wealth. But he got that wealth and then someone stole it. Now he will never be able to rest in peace. All day and night he will be only thinking about the money he was stolen. So when I gave you darshan and after that I disappeared, then my loving devotees, they lament and they cry for me. But still, although they are showing their love, I don't reciprocate that love because I want to intensify that love. And this wailing, this lamentation, this thirst, this misery, it is the best way to get me. The sadhak, they then get so much engrossed in Sri Krishna when this sort of a situation arises. Bhagavan told Narad Muni that, see, I will not appear again before you. He gave him one small darshan and disappeared. And Narad Muni, even he was wailing. But the Lord told him, now again I will not give you darshan. You got this very little darshan, now you will be so much full of thirst. And in this manner, you will continue your bhajan in this life. So then, next life, you will get perfection. However, the way you gopis, you gave up your family honor, you gave up the decent path, of the lofty path of the Aryan culture, you gave up all righteousness, just for me, it is something so great. So there is no need for me to disappear in order to increase your thirst. Because your thirst it has already reached the climax. I cannot place you amongst other devotees. But you know then why I disappeared? There is no question at all of increasing your passion, because your passion is at the zenith. You are not sadhak whose thirst has to be increased. You have already proved your attraction for me when you broke all bonds and you came rushing towards me at the beginning of the Maharas itself. So then why did I disappear? You know, I was actually enjoying the way you were crying for me. So, really speaking, even I was doing your bhajan when you were doing my bhajan. I was hearing Shravanam. Our Mahajans, they have explained this, Govinda's bhajan. They have said that Govinda, he, like the practicing devotee, we have to relish rasa while doing bhajan. Then that bhajan, it is rasful and it is attractive to him. Similarly, Sri Krishna, in the case of the gopis, he was also relishing the rasa. The rasa of how Govinda was saying, how you were crying, Ha Krishna, Ha Krishna, how you were searching for me. Oh, it was very nectarine. So even my bhajan, I was listening with so much engrossment, absorption, concentration. So I was also performing perfect bhajan. And with so much rasa I was doing it. So very superlative bhajan. And from this great ocean of praying of the gopis, so many songs have arisen. The nectarine Venu Geet, nectarine Gopi Geet, nectarine Bhramar Geet. It is so much enjoyable for us devotees. So Govinda is saying, please don't be angry with me. Please, I beg of you. And the gopis, immediately they were ecstatic. They said, oh, you were enjoying while we were suffering? That's lovely. Then, that is perfect. Because the gopis, they have absolutely no desire for happiness of their own. The only thing they wish is to make Govinda happy. So whilst we were suffering, you were enjoying? Very nice. Then we don't mind that you have done this, as long as you were happy. So even the little smoldering they had in their heart was soothed. And Govinda said that, what love, what bhajan you have performed. If I love you, if I worship you, even for entire lifetime of Brahmaji, I will not be able to repay your loan. You please continue to love me like this, and may I continue to be indebted to you. There was a poem someone written that Radha's rin, that is Radha's debt, it Govinda will be able to pay it back the day he appears in Nadia. That means when he appears in Nadia in the form of Gosundar, he will be able to repay the loan which he has taken from Radharani. I don't know which poet wrote this great poem, but it is completely in contradiction with the Siddhanta of Bhagavatam. Because Govinda said very clearly that you continue to perform bhajan and I will continue to be indebted. There is no question of repaying the loan at all. In fact, how he appeared in Nadia? He got some more loan from her, of her bhav and of her splendor. So what repaying he did? In fact, even that he did ultimately for himself to relish Radha Prem and Radha Bhav. So forget repaying even the main amount. The interest was so much. So the interest was accumulating so much that there was no question of paying even the interest. Forget the balance. Anyway, he has, with his magical flute, attracted 300 crores of Gopabalas here. And now the Maharaj began. Between every two gopis, there was one Krishna. Shukamuni, he has written that how Bhagavan Devakisuta, he was dancing, and how it looked like one beautiful necklace of gold beads, inside which was embedded an emerald. He is the infinite, innumerable oceans of sweetness. And the gopis, they were intense prem enhances intense sweetness. So he was now looking all the more sweet. Kanchano Moni Gane Jano Nera Mayalo. It appeared as if someone had embedded emerald between gold beads and had knit a most exquisite necklace. It appeared as if inside lightning, fresh clouds were playing, and inside fresh clouds, lightning were flashing. It appeared as if the sky was full of countless brilliant moons, and countless brilliant moons were surrounded by the dark sky. How innumerable golden creepers were embracing countless tamal trees, and innumerable tamal trees were being entwined with golden creepers. So many lotus buds were kissing and singing to the bumblebees, and the bumblebees coming and kissing the lotus buds. This is how the Maharaj was looking. And they were all singing in the pitch of their voice. It was the most ecstatic dance. This is why this Maharaj, it is the Sarva Leela Mukutamani. The sweetness of Ras is indescribable. What to speak of devotees, what to speak of Bhagavan, or Vinayakas involved in the Ras, everyone gets lost while relishing Ras. See, Bhagavan, he has himself said with his holy lips that, I like all my Leelas, I like to reminisce about them, but when I think of the Ras Leela, something happens to me. I don't know how my heart becomes. My mind flies somewhere. So this shows how great is the Maharaj. He who is inconceivable, he who is inexpressible, he cannot express the glory of Ras dance. When the gopis were suffering in Mathur Viraha, then he sent Uddhava Mahashay, and Uddhava Mahashay is talking to the gopis. Then the gopis, they answered him with so much emotion. There is one statement they made which really wrecks our heart and wants to make us cry. They said, Uddhav, you are so close to him, you know everything. Tell me, when the full moon arises in the sky of Mathura, your bosom friend, who must have told you everything in his of his life, he has never once mentioned the Ras dance to you? Has he never said that, alas, the moon is there, I am also there, but where are my gopis? You know, the beloveds who were present during the Ras dance, they have died. How is it possible that they have died? The gopis who are speaking, they are the sweethearts who participated in the Ras dance. But they are saying, those sweethearts have died. Why did they say like this? Our Mahajans have explained that the gopis are saying that the one who has enjoyed the Ras dance, is it possible for her to ever suffer like this? It is not possible. You know, Uddhav, the moon that had risen that day, it was not like the moon on other days. It was glittering, sparkling, like the sun, but was cooling. Entire Vrindavan was flooded with white light. Jamuna was dancing. In fact, the specks of sand on the banks of Yamuna, where those gopis had danced, they were white like camphor. Such was the beauty of the Ras night. And Shukamuni, he wrote in Srimad Bhagavatam that this Ras Vilas of Sri Krishna with the Vrajabadhus, the brides of Vrajadham, whoever reads it and whoever hears it, whoever recites it, then all material desire will be destroyed in their heart. According to Srimad Bhagavatam, first we will have prem, and then our material desire will be destroyed. Our Jiva Goswami Padhi has explained that this shows that sadhana, it is so powerful. We can question that how is it possible that without all our anarthas going, we are going to get prem? Well, it is like this, that the light coming and dispelling of darkness, it happens simultaneously. So, prem and anartha, destruction of anartha. So, it happens simultaneously. And our Shijir, he is writing that this proves that our process of bhajan, it is so powerful. So, the gopis are dancing, and in between the gopis, one Govinda is dancing. In between, he is dancing with Radha. We know that Radharani's splendor is like molten gold. But here, Saraswati Pad, he has used the word Kashmira Gaura Chavihi. Kashmir means saffron. Saffron, it is dark. Like Kashmir, actually, in simple language, Indian language, it means kumkum. So it is somewhat brownish in color. So how come? She is supposed to be molten gold, not a darker shade. This is because she was dancing with Shamsundar. In fact, we see that in many places when he comes very close to Radharani, our Mahajan, or even with the gopis, like how our Mahajan has written in this poem, that the necklace is of gold beef, and in between there are emeralds embedded. But emerald is green in color. While Shyam Sundar, he is Ujjwal Neelmani. He is sapphire, bluish in color. So how come? Because the gopis, they have golden splendor. So the yellow plus blue equal to green. This is why, just like Govinda's complexion, it keeps on changing with his proximity to Radharani. So similarly, Radharani's complexion also changes depending on how close or how far she is from him. Our Rupa Goswami has written that when she is far from him, sitting alone in a kunja, then you can see her true complexion, which is molten gold. So just as we find that a child plays with its own reflection in a mirror, similarly Radha Krishna Ekatma Dhirjahudhari Anandini Bilashirasa Ashadanjali. So Radha Krishna, they are one soul. Just assuming two forms, they are enjoying love sport with each other. There is nothing wrong with this. There is no fault. Just as milk and its whiteness cannot be separated, fire and its burning property we cannot separate. We cannot separate the moon from its radiance. We cannot separate Radha Krishna. And then why? Why two? And then again from Radharani, 300 crores of rupees, expansion. Why? Just to relish rust. Radharani, she is the actual rust who is giving the relish to Govinda, while the other gopis, they are the side ingredient, enhancing that taste, the spice in a main dish. The main dish is made of a very delicious item, and yet we put some spices, like for example when we make fried rice. So basmati chawal, that is very nice, but then we put some spices to enhance the taste of that. That is why 300 crores of gopis. But they are nothing without the main item, that is Radharani. Now we find that Shri Krishna, we find that between two gopis there is one Krishna. This Maharas, it is the manifestation of extreme Aishwarya, actually. Yet, the gopis, they are so much steeped in Madhur Bhav that they are not able to. Our Acharyas, they have explained that he did not take out expansion from his body while dancing the Rasa dance. But he showed, had he taken out expansion from his body, it would not have shown so much Aishwarya. What did he do? A single Krishna, he was dancing so swiftly that he was in the center with Radharani, and at the same time he was dancing in between every gopi and going to the center and coming again between every gopi. This is why this is the height of Aishwarya. It is just like you take a stick, tie fire at the end, and if you move it in a circle speedily, then all you will get to see is a ring of fire. So in the same way, Sri Govinda, he was flitting in between every two gopis and in the center. Sri Pad, he is there watching all this. So like how Rupa Goswami Pad has written, he is following. When Radha Madhav, they are going to the Kunja to perform their loving pastimes, and Radharani, she is crazily in love. She is so restless, so impatient to reach the Kunja, because she is Madanakya Mahabhav, and she wants to serve this Aprakrita Naveen Madan, the transcendental youthful love god of Vrindavan. Although Sri Krishna, he is the embodiment of Shringar Rasa, he also cannot realize how she, this Madanakya Mahabhav, that is Radharani, how she manages to reach him to the dizzy heights of love making. She is displaying soft smiles all around. She is thinking of all the love play she is going to perform, and she is smiling to herself. And Sundari, she is observing this. She is following. And when the Kinkari sees Radha Madhav immersing in the love playing, they are performing confidential seva, Nigamado, Malayaja Korpuro, Nihitas. She is mixing this sandalwood anointment she is putting for them, to cool them after their love queen, which is mixed with camphor. Then she is fanning them. She is putting sweet tambul in their sweet lips. It is such beautiful vision. But Manjari is not forgetting her seva. She is continuing to perform the seva at the appropriate time. And then suddenly the vision disappears, and the poet falls to the ground. Ha Ishwari, when will I get your vision again? Please protect me. Please take me out of this ocean of viraha for you. Please save me. In the next shloka, he has come out of Siddha Swarup and he is saying his prayer in sadhak self. Mahaprabhu, having mercy on us, we shall relish.